All right, now I'm going to push the thing.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kailejohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device.
Yeah.
I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yeah, and Rick disappeared again. But Rick's here from long lost Canada. Somewhere. He was here. Scott's got a celebration of life thing, so he's not going to be here. And today we're reviewing Star Wars Acolyte Season 1, Episode 7, called Choice. So we'll discuss that a little bit. We're going to do an unboxing as well. And we'll go through a detailed recap and discussion and kind of give some opinions and ideas and, you know, explain whatever we need to along the way. But first, we're going to ask you for some feedback right up front. There's Rick back. Got himself some water. All right, so if the first place you can send us feedback is our email address, feedback@kylejohansson.us. You can go to our website, and on that side, you click a link that says feedback, and it'll take you to a form you fill it out. We're also on social media. We're on Twitter/X @super_duper_pod. Blue Sky is Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. And we're on multiple locations. Spotify is now promoting that you can leave comments on podcasts there. So, you know, we'll be looking for that. We'll be on YouTube comments as well, and any other place that seems to think we need comments on there. We welcome them all, right, Rick? Yeah.
We take any at all. Comment away.
I'm sure they all want to know what you were doing in Canada, but we'll let them ask, I guess.
I was getting, you can see it, buggy bike.
Getting bit by lots of bugs. Okay.
And a nice old snack. Can you tell I wore sunglasses?
A little bit. Got some suntan going there. Yeah, so we're going to do an unboxing real quick, Rick. Let's go.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxing.
Right here. Got my Sharpie tool. Last week, Rick, you missed it. I had a steak knife that I cut open the box with.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, we were in the cabin, and I didn't bring the tool with me, so I just had to grab a knife.
So oh, yeah, you guys went to town last weekend, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we were South Missouri. You'll have to watch the video to see the cabin a little bit, because we recorded inside.
Sweet.
We'll look at that.
You got on your hands.
Beady eyes. Oh yeah, I tore myself up. I did that before we left. I was trying to hang a shelf somehow, and I slipped off the ladder a little bit.
Oh, those are dangerous.
Scraped my hand. So look, it's some guy with goggles on. Okay, so we'll flip it over. Here we go. 242, and it says Tobias Beckett.
Bias.
Remember who Tobias Beckett is, Rick?
That was Woody Harrelson, right?
Yeah, 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 exactly. He was in the Solo movie.
Yeah.
He was the fake commander or whatever in the army. But he's got his gun in the episode.
Yeah. Here,
let's look at the side. Whoops, I keep messing up there. So 242. And again, it's the Solo movie. We had one last week from the Solo movie too. I think which one was it? Oh, it was the droid LE337. That was the unboxing last week that you missed.
Yeah, I have a, sorry.
242. I'm just going to keep bringing it up. Just kidding.
You know, my internet service was really spotty up there.
242. And again, there's a good picture of the gun that he has. He's got that rifle or whatever he had.
I don't think
it was an automatic gun. It was just a rifle. But Tobias Beckett, 242. That was our unboxing. Yay.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
This camera back up where it belongs.
Right about me.
Yeah, that looks good. All right, get that out of our way. Okay, Rick, here we go. So, episode 7 was called Choice. The director was Kaganaga. Weird name, but it's all only one word. I think it's a Japanese guy. There was 3 different writers this week. Charmaine DeGreat, Jen Richards, and Jasmine Florinoy. And I want to kind of say Jasmine Florinoy, they've always got her listed as a staff writer too, so she's always writing something on all these episodes, but she's not the main writer like she is this week, or one of the main writers. Cheryl Potter's the editor. Music was still by Michael Abels. We had a little bit longer cast this week because we had a lot of our Jedi in there that we had at the beginning of the season. We had Master Soul, Lee Junjie, Master Kalaneka, and it was kind of confirmed that he was a Jedi Master. And that was played by Jonas Sutomato. Jodie Turner-Smith is crap. I didn't write her name down, but she's the second hand to Mother Anise, the lady with the spikes and stuff. I forget what her name is, but I didn't write it down. Then there, like I said, there's Mother Anise. Her name is Margarita Levea. We had Padawan, what's his name? The guy that killed himself with the poison. He was in this episode. And he was kind of a integral part of what happened and what caused all the problems. And then we had the little girls this week. So it was May was Lauren Brady and Osha was Leah Brady, the twins. We had Indira, which was Carrie Ann Moss. And then we had some of those subordinate witches. They were called, some of them were called Ensigns and some of them were called Scouts. And there's one elder in here. So we have Ensign Rain, which is Amy Sang. Ensign Uris, which is Abigail Thorne. Scout Saria, which is Sakia Allen. Ensign Shima was Deborah Rosen. And Elder Jalen was Tabitha Algy. The episode originally aired on July 9th. And this was one of our longest episodes. It was 44 minutes long. I think it's the longest one so far. We don't know how long the final one is, so that one may be longer. I'm guessing the final one's going to be an hour. But it was also, like you said, it was back in time. So we're back at 1:48, which is when the whole May incident happened. May and OSHA incidents happened. So what that means...
Same time, episode one, right?
Yeah. So that means it's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. Yay. I think you're drinking water like me, but... All right, so 16 years earlier, Sol and his fellow Jedi, Master Indira, Padawan Torben, that's his name, Torben, Game of Thrones guy, Torben and Kalaneka survey the vegetation on the planet Berneka. They're collecting samples and bushes and stores inside the medical container. Later, Indira activates a different type of scanner on top of a post. Kind of, it looks to me like it's a survey kind of thing, but you know, how the surveyors on the side of the road had to do. Looks like that kind of thing. While she checks her data pad, Kellen Echo surveys the grass along with a long instrument. It looks like a he's surveying the grass, but that's a stupid metal detector that he's using. It's got the circle on the end of it and everything on a pole, you know, like those metal detectors.
Yeah,
that's no grass surveying instrument. That's a metal detector. Don't give me that crap. And Sol collects a sample of water from the nearby creek. Kalameka roars and says that, you know, they're not finding much. And Torben collects a sample and drops it into an analyzer machine. Later that night, the four Jedi sit by a campfire. Kalameka has cooked a meal, but Torben is reluctant to eat. He's all nervous or something. Master Indira counsels her Padawan that is unwise to refuse a Wookiee's cooking, as he'll rip your arm off.
You might be eating yourself.
Yeah, you'll be the next meal. Corbin grumbles about being sick of hunting Nuna legs and says that he wants to go home to Coruscant. And Dora is sympathetic but reminds Torben that they are on a mission. Torben grumbles and says they have spent seven weeks on Brindock without finding anything worth reporting. So, and then she goes on to explain kind of why they're there. So here we go. So Indira explains that Brindock was reported as a lifeless, uninhabited planet 100 years ago, due to a hyperspace disaster, the planet is thriving. Torben grumbles about investigating the vegetation on Brindock and prompts Indira to tell Torben not to let his anxieties get the better of him. Torben does not understand the purpose of their mission on Brindock. Sol explains that they are looking for a vergence on the planet. And let me pull that up real quick so we can see. Oh, that's too small on my screen.
It was supposed to be dead and there's life on it.
Yeah, the planet was totally empty and lifeless. No life on it 100 years before. So they're trying to figure out why. So he's saying they're investigating or looking for a vergence on the planet. And it says here, a vergence is sometimes described as a force nexus or a locus, which was unusual yet naturally occurring concentration of force energy localized around an object or a place or a person. A vergence is centered on a location and could give nearby force sensitive stronger interactions with a force, often including visions. So what they're saying is, because of the vergence they're looking for, the vergence has created life on the planet. Because as we know, the force is in everything, right? So it's they think the force has created the life on the planet. There's a strong concentration somewhere that's causing it.
And that's back in episode one, that the Darth Maul witchy lady says something about the Jedi are, if they find out how the girls were born, like, right? Like, yeah. Because it was basically implied that the girls were made from, like, something. And we just kind of talked about, like, it was, like, dark magic or black magic or whatever it is, witch magic, right? So, yep. Are they, like, saying that something on this planet created these two girls?
I don't think so. I think they might have used something on the planet to do that, but, maybe the witches found the concentration before the Jedi did and used the concentration to do that. You know, they stood in that area and cast their spell, which only works when there's a strong force concentration. I don't know. They don't really explain that in the episode. We don't get those exact answers today. Maybe on the next episode. I don't know. But we don't get those exact answers. We get the answers about the disaster that happened with all the witches and such. So, not to disappoint you or anything, but we don't really find out how OSHA and May were created.
So they don't know that the girls. Okay, so
right now they don't know they exist.
Yeah, at that point they don't know they exist. Okay, so I'm just trying to like make the connection with episode one with that comment about how they were created. So they're not there hunting for life creation. They're there. Well, they are, but they're trying to figure out why there's life on this planet that there wasn't supposed to be life on it.
Right. And it's very possible that the Jedi have outlawed the method that the witches used to create May and OSHA.
True.
So they don't want them to find out because they'll get in trouble.
Yeah.
The Jedi will put them in jail or something like that.
And so the witches made it to the planet first, maybe used that force or whatever and created them, and they're afraid that they're going to find that out and
right.
and then take them away or something.
Right. So okay. Let's go on here. Indira explains that the Vergence is a concentration of the force energy centered around a location. Sol thinks that the Vergence can create life on a planet and is worth studying and protecting, you know, because they may be able to use it other places. Yeah, he believes that it is a noble mission and that it is important for the Jedi to study and find. The following day, Kellan Echo explores the forest with his scanner, his metal detector. While Torben drops more samples into his analyzer, Indira speaks with Sol, laminating that her Padawan is too distracted to understand the significance of the Vergence. She is also unsure about whether the Vergence triggered the explosion of life on Brendak. When Sol remarks that Torben is distracted and unbalanced, Indira reminds him that he was disturbed and tells him not to confuse his feelings with Torben's feelings. Indira says that she did not tell Torben answers to ease his mind, but rather to help him seek the answers for himself. When Sol sighs, Indira says that that's why she has a Padawan while he doesn't not. She's more thoughtful, I guess. Okay. After Kalaneka calls to them in Shiruki, Indira decides that the four need to split up because they're not finding anything, of course. Indira asks Sol to follow the river and to explore the Northlands, which have not been explored. They agree to meet back at camp. Sol heads to the Northlands on a speeder bike. After parking his bike, Sol draws onto a Bunta tree, which is that tree that, you know, had the yellow and it was poisonous.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. That's where the girls were at.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're about to see. So, there's a round stone and some ruins, and he witnesses two human children. May and OSHA. Sol witnesses May using the force to trap a butterfly, or I thought that was a bird or something, until OSHA tells her to stop. He hears the two children arguing before walking into the forest. Sol witnesses OSHA and May reaffirming their relationship with each other. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, and they hug each other, remember? She also catches sight of Mother Coral. She chastises the children for running off into the woods, and Sol contacts Indira with a comlink, telling her that they are not alone. Oh no, they're not alone. There's something out there. It's scary.
Hey, no, wait a minute. This is exactly episode one.
Right. So we're back at, we're into the episode one part. We're seeing it from a different perspective, Sol's perspective, I guess.
Gotcha.
He follows Coral and the twins to the gate of the Brendak Fortress. There he watches Coral unlock the gate and usher the children inside. Sol waits for the three to disappear before attempting to unlock the gate himself, which he cannot do because his force isn't good, I guess. I don't know. It's just a lock. Why can't he unlock it? he climbs the mountain instead. So they're living inside of this mountain, and it's built up with looks like, you know, like a pyramids kind of thing. It's got stones that are built up. So he climbs up the side of it, and the top of it's open, so he is able to get in. And uses some catwalks to enter the fortress common room. Watching from a crack, he watches Mother Anise train the twins in the arts of the Force. Again, this is a scene that we saw in the first episode. She sees May defending Osha with her Force powers, and Osha hiding behind May. Hearing sounds on the catwalk, Coral investigates and sees no one near the top of the mountain fortress. Soul witnesses several witches also engaging in a ritual. Later that night, Soul reports his findings to Master Indira and the other Jedi. Soul thinks the Force cult he encountered are witches. Ooh, they're witches! When Torben asks if witches are Night Sisters, Kalaneka growls, basically saying yes. Indira says that they do not have all the information and adds that Night Sisters do not raise younglings or train them. At least not all of them. I guess these do. Soul says that the witches do not treat the girls like children. Indira thinks they should return to the ship and seek guidance from the Jedi Council. But Soul is concerned about the girls' safety and tells Indira that the witches are preparing them for a ceremony tonight. Fearing the girls are in danger, might be sacrificed, Soul insists that they act fast rather than consult the High Council. So they think that the girls are going to be, you know, in danger in some way, either sacrificed or, you know, they're going to put a spell on them and do something weird to them, you know, who knows what.
Yeah, there was that ceremony first episode, like, and that's where the one gets the
May, tattoo, right? The tattoo or whatever. The markings.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, the four Jedi travel on two speeder bikes towards the Witch's Mountain Fortress. Reaching the gate, Kalanaka rips a panel from the wall, and Torben recognizes the gate as hosting its own platform elevator and thinks that the mountain fortress was once a mining site. Under Indura's orders, Kalaneka slices the elevator, which is the Star Wars term of hacks the elevator. Slices, let's see, there's a specific definition. Let me read it to you. But it's basically hacking it. So what does it say? A slicer is an individual who is specialized in slicing into computer systems and programs and breaking encryption. So a hacker, right? Indira wants to investigate alone, and Torben insists on accompanying her. Indira disagrees, saying that the witches might take a presence of multiple Jedi as a threat. When Soul counters there are over 50 witches, Indira responds that there are 50 witches and two children. Soul insists they go as a team, and Indira relents but warns them to be vigilant. So they're going to infiltrate because they're afraid, which we know, we saw that.
The Darth Maul lady, I don't know what her name is,
Coral.
Jedi attacking him or something, right?
Yeah. She senses it, I think, but the four Jedi enter the lift, which takes them to a corridor consisting of sharp-edged metal panels with three triangle lights in a yellow and green. They enter the courtyard where they find the warrior, which is standing down their bows and arrows. So this is the scene in the first one where they all draw their arrows because they hear somebody coming in. They find the rest of the witches clustered together on the steps amidst a fog. Master Indira introduces herself, Soul, Torben, and Kalaneka. Mother Anise responds that the women are in a coven and under her protection, while Coral denounces the Jedi for trespassing. You're trespassing without, you know, need or anything like that, is what she basically says. Like you said, Coral gets kind of angry about them being there.
Well, they broke in. Like, it's right. Breaking in.
They broke in, basically, through the front door or the side door. Andorra apologizes for the intrusion and says that they thought Brindock was uninhabited. Well, NSA...
They're staying your ground.
Yeah. Well, NSA expresses disbelief that the Jedi could not sense their presence. She uses her telepathic powers to toy with Torben's mind and finds him... He finds himself alone in the courtyard. So... She basically uses, and you see her, she turns into black smoke and kind of infiltrates his mind, basically. So the smoke kind of goes into him and she possesses him, let's say.
Well, yeah, because in the first episode, like, he's down on the ground, like, right? Like,
right.
And I think she's killing him or something. Like, his eyes turn black.
Exactly. This is how we find out exactly how that happens. She turns into smoke and kind of absorbs herself into him, and that's their way of possessing them. And the funny part is you see him being possessed, but you also see the actions going on around him when he's out. You know, he's out, but he still sees him or something. It's weird. It's kind of, like I said, a different perspective of view. Because, you know, they negotiate his release from, you know, the trance or whatever. There's a few things that happen there. Mother Anastay reads his mind, recognizes him as a Jedi Padawan, a son of a pauper from the planet Bonden. Appropriations of Anastay speak to him, telling him that he has traveled far, only to be trapped, and describing him as a strong and good Jedi. Anastay senses that Torben has a natural desire, and he suppresses and asks if he desires to escape Brindock, and she offers to help him. During the trance, Andorra asks Osha if they may meet her sister May. Anastay toys with Torben, playing with on his desire to return to Coruscant. So she's playing with Torben in his trance while all this other stuff is going on at the same time. And as far as Andorra and everybody, they still see her, but she is possessed, this guy also, Torben. She offers to grant his desire, and Anastay tempts him with a desire until he gives in and says that he wishes to turn to Coruscant. This causes Torben's eyes to turn black, and he falls to his knees into a deeper trance. Torben's trance-like state unnerves the other Jedi. Anastay warns the Jedi to leave in return for restoring Torben's mind. Amidst the confrontation, Osha begs Anastay to let her take the Jedi test. I just want to take it. Andorra backs Osha up. Anastay releases Torben and agrees to send scouts to bring May and Osha for testing at the Jedi camp the following day. The Jedi depart under a watchful gaze of the witches. So
she'll send scouts the next day and have the girls tested, right?
Right. So we're just seeing more context around that, right, at this point.
Gotcha. So
it'll make a lot more sense when you watch it. It's just more context. It was... What we saw in the first episode was kind of brief. You know, it was just little parts of this, and we're just seeing a lot more detail of what happened.
They just filled in that event, that scene, with just more detail, like more things that went on.
Exactly. Aboard the Jedi starship, Master Andorra tends to Torben, who is still shaken from the telepathic attack. Master Andorra is pleased with Sol's idea about testing the girls, since that would buy them time to consult with the Jedi Council. Sol confides that he feels a special connection with Osha, and Andorra is concerned that the idea of testing the twins and thinks that Osha is too old to join the Jedi Order. When Sol says he feels Osha is destined to be his Padawan, Endura takes him by the shoulder and warns that her coven will not let her leave. He describes the coven as insular and strange. Sol is concerned about Osha's well-being, saying that they marked her sister May with ceremonial markings, like you said, the tattoos or whatever on her head.
Yeah.
Endura responds that the ceremonial markings are customary in many galactic cultures. Sol recalls that Osha did not have one and that she is not safe. Endura says they cannot be certain that Osha has resisted receiving the markings. Sol says that it's the duty of the Jedi to protect Osha and believes that Osha wants to leave with the Jedi. Endura cautions Sol not to make his desires for Osha what Osha wants. So he's trying to put his desires on what Osha wants to have and, you know, whatever. Endura walks away, leaving Sol with a weighty expression.
So he's trying to get a Padawan.
Well, he is, but he thinks from what he's getting from the Force that she's destined to be, you know, his Padawan. I don't think it's an extreme desire to have one. It's just that he thinks that for a long time that she's the one that's supposed to be his Padawan.
Well, in episode one, that's all she wanted. She right. told the mother that she wanted to be a Jedi, and then well, we see the symbol. I'm looking at your flag. We see she drew that in the journal at the end when May stole the journal from her and burn it, right? Or that's how yep. she started the fire. She used the journal to
exactly right. And like I said, this episode is pretty much the first episode with more context, because we see that here later on where she burns the journal and all that stuff.
Okay. That background. Well, it's yours too. It's the same thing. Yours just inverted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just sideways.
Yeah. So that's why he's maybe getting that vibe or whatever, because she's so strongly wanting it, because the girls fought over it.
Yeah. And I think he realizes that, you know, May is exhibiting Force abilities, but he senses that Osha has them too. She just doesn't want to use them.
Yeah. But she wants to be a Jedi.
Right. So yeah. Here we go. The following day, Torben is meditating on outside the starship. He opens his eyes to see Coral leading the scouts and the twins towards the Jedi starship. Torben accompanies May aboard the ship, holding a syringe. He collects a sample of her blood from her arm after she consents. In the med bay, she is greeted by Endura and Sol, who have prepared a Jedi test for her. Endura tells May that she must divine what image is appearing on the test screen. This prompts May to ask, what do they want her to do? So the first episode we actually see Osha do this. This is actually May that we get to see the entire thing. Cause we know in the first episode that May kind of lies or whatever. We get to see what transpires when she does that. So she's pretending like she doesn't know what they want. What do you mean divine? What does that mean? You know, Sol holds up a screen to his face and asks May to tell him what she sees. Through the screen, we see a Wampa. That's one of those big giant, I don't know, Yetis that we see in one of the Star Wars movies where it was on ice, the Hoth.
Yeah, the Hoth.
The captured Luke.
Yeah.
That's what's on the screen.
Gotcha.
And she tells them that she sees a starship. When the image changes to a Lothcat, May says she sees a castle. When the third image is a power droid, And May says she sees a planet. Soul eyes her with disappointment. Before the fourth image appears, May claims she sees a necklace, prompting Soul to say the image has not appeared yet. How can you guess something that hasn't appeared yet? After May asks, can she go home? And Dira questions her about the ceremony the Jedi saw last night in the Witch's Fortress. May says that it was an ascension ceremony. And Dira asks if she liked it, prompting May to nod. And Dira says that the ceremony was very beautiful and remarks that ascension must be very powerful for May to receive such a marking on her forehead. And May adds that Mother Anise explained that the ascension ceremony means Osha and her will lead the coven. Following her mother's footsteps, when Indira asks how children can be expected to lead the coven, May says, I don't know. Because that hasn't been explained to her. Misunderstanding her mother's words, May says that her mother said that everyone must walk through fear and that everyone must be sacrificed to fulfill their destiny. Indira thanks May for the explanation before allowing her to leave. After Torben escorts May out, Soul tells Indira that May was instructed to fail the test. He seeks her permission to try a different approach with Osha. Following May's revelations about the coven's beliefs, Indira relents. So, during Osha's test, what? Go ahead.
Well, we saw the one mom tell her to lie.
Yeah. Right? Coral.
So, yeah. Okay, so I'm like, so this episode we see her testing, and the first episode we saw Osha testing.
Right. Like, we see a little bit of Osha too in this episode, but not as much.
Because Soul made the comment about you don't have to lie, or like we know you've been told the lie, or something like that.
Yeah, he tells that to Osha.
Yeah, in the first episode, like he told her that we know that you were to lie or what. So that makes sense because May tested first, and now we see that she lied, and we see right. that we know that she was told to lie. So that makes sense why he made that comment to Osha then.
Exactly.
Really wants to be a Jedi, so then she knows that the gig is up, so what's the point of like lying?
Exactly. So we'll see. So during Osha's test, Soul reassures her that there are thousands of other children like her in the Jedi. He tells her that she must have courage to say what she wants. You know, this is that old speech where he's telling her, hey, you know, we know you lied and we want you to tell the truth. And Dura makes eye contact with Torben. And Torben, Osha tells the Jedi that she wants to be a Jedi. Soul tells Osha that she must have the courage to tell her coven the truth. And Dura permits Osha to continue the test. While Soul holds the screen to his face, he asks Osha to tell him what she sees. And Osha says she sees a planet, which Soul says is correct. And Dura watches the test with a concerned look. Because we know Soul is not telling her the truth of what she's saying, right? Soul's just saying she's correct on everything, which is, from the first episode, we know she wasn't getting him right. So later, Indira instructs Torben to run May and Osha's blood samples. She tells him that she has contacted the Jedi Council for advice. While they wait on a response from the council, she tells Torben and Kalaneka to continue their field work. After Torben leaves, she tells Indira that Osha passed. He says that she will meet him in a camp once the council has responded. Whatever. That evening, Kalaneka prepares dinner at the campsite while Torben and Soul wait. Master Indira exits the starship and explains that the Jedi Council will not sanction bringing the twins to Coruscant or separating them from their coven. Torben says that the witches are dangerous citing their telepathic attack on him. Sol responds that Endura can sense that the twins are not safe. Endura responds that the council says they have interfered too much with the coven already. When Torben asks if the council will let them return, Endura gives a negative answer, prompting Torben to sulk, because Torben wants to go home. Sol offers to speak to the council, but Endura says they have made their decision already. When Sol protests, saying that Osha passed the test, Endura counters that he coached her and warns Sol not to form an emotional attachment to this child. Sol angrily denies that he has an attachment to Osha, saying that he wants to do what is best for her. Endura disagrees, saying that it's not up to him. Just then, Torben returns with a data pad containing the twins' blood test results. He notices that the M count is unusually high, making them extremely Force-sensitive. He says the girls are not twins because they have the same symbiont, meaning they're not twins, they're clones, basically. Sol and Endura conclude that twins were artificially created by tapping into a power dense enough to split one consciousness into two bodies. That's weird. One consciousness into two bodies. Wonder how that works. Sol says that only a virgins can create that kind of power. Believing the girls are in danger, Torben climbs onto the speeder bike despite Sol's warnings. Torben replies that twins are proof that the Jedi Council needs the vengeance they are looking for. They need to control it. Whatever. He says that there is a ticket, that this is their ticket home, so he thinks the witches possess the divergence. Endura sends Sol on the remaining speeder to stop him, while she and Kalaneka will follow in their starship.
So, hold on. Okay. So this is how much time?
Not much.
Before the batch, like 80 years? No, it's more 16. Than that.
16. Oh, before the Bad Batch, it's like 180 years.
180 years. Yeah. So this is information that Palpatine could have possessed, like with to get life or whatever to do the cloning thing or whatever to be able to get a body, like
right.
Huh.
And we find in the Clone Wars animated series that Palpatine has a deep relationship with witches. I assume it's these witches, this group. I don't know. But he has a deep relationship with them, meaning they work together several times.
Which would make sense for him.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right. I'm like trying to connect some dots here. Like,
yeah, there's some things connected, and that's one of the things that was brought up that I saw on the internet was this connects them to Palpatine.
I'm just saying what, like, he's saying that they're two is one, basically, like they're not really twins, they're one that are separated. Well, there's your dyad right there, like
sort of, yeah.
Like from one thing, two became. Well, what's the girls say that, right? They say two is one or something like that. Like they have that little phrase that they said.
Right, but the whole clan chants that too.
They do. Okay.
They say many is one or something. Something like that. Okay. It's part of the ceremony.
I don't remember that. I guess I'll have to definitely pay attention to that. I just remember that girl said, like, two is one, like, you're the earth and I'm the wind or fire or something like that. Okay, never mind. Sorry. Pausing you. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I don't remember them saying they're particular elements or anything, but
well, maybe they did. That phrase that they were saying, like they like put their hands up and touch, right? Like yeah. Two is I'm one of two or something. I don't
the
remember.
The power of two is equal to one, or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Like, so that kind of makes sense. So there's like a the witches. Yeah, all right. There's more to the witches. Those witches.
Those crazy witches. All right. So there's a storm. You know, there's a storm up in the sky approaching. And at the Brindock Fortress, Osha and May are fighting, prompting Mother NSA to tell Mother Coral to bring May out. She weaves through the forest on a Soul weaves through the forest on a speeder bike. And in the witch's common room, Osha tells NSA that she wants to be a Jedi. NSA hugs her daughter and promises to discuss the situation with the other witches. Before leaving, the mother and daughter reaffirm their love for each other. I love you. I love you. Elsewhere, Coral drags May out into the courtyard. She gives May permission to stop Osha from going to the Jedi and warns her that the Jedi will not warn her before they attack. In a brief practice session, Coral attempts to strike May with her staff, but May uses her force powers to deflect it. This is where they're demonstrating their or doing their tests or whatever. If you remember that part for episode one, Coral encourages May to give into her anger. Back in the common room, Ensign Rain and Eurus object to Anasei's discussion to release Osha to the Jedi. Anasei encounters that Osha has chosen to go and says that they should respect her daughter's decision. When Rain objects to sacrificing their future, because the two of them are the entire future of the clan, Anasei counters that her children are their future and insist on respecting Osha's wishes. A dark-skinned human witch reminds Anasei that she may be a mother, but she is also their leader, so she needs to act like one and not choose motherhood first. Meanwhile, a furious May smashes the elevator control panel with a pipe. I think this is the control panel actually outside of Osha's room, where Osha is kind of, you know, hidden herself in there. She tells the other witches that nobody can get in or out. Coral backs her up and orders the other witches to arm themselves for the impending Jedi raid. On the ground, Soul catches up with Torben outside the elevator at the base of the fortress. Torben tells Soul the elevator is jammed. So, okay, maybe she did jam the elevator that they were using before. Not outside of there yet. We're not there yet. Meditating through the Force, Soul hones in on May, telling her sister, Osha, that she cannot leave the fortress since they are stuck here. Soul leads Torben to the fortress wall after finding a handheld, and he tells Torben that he needs his help to rescue the girls and that he cannot let the witches get into his head again. So no more possessing Torben. Nope. As the two prepare to climb the mountain, May locks Osha inside her room before picking up an oil lamp. So this is the scene where she starts to burn stuff. Endura and Kalaneka approach the fortress in their starship. Unable to land, Endura convinces Kalaneka to descend from the starship in order to stop Torben from inflaming the situation more than it is. As Coral prepares the witches for the Jedi raid, she tells NSA that the Jedi have breached the fortress again. NSA objects to using violence, but Coral is unwilling to let the Jedi take their children. May sets Osha's journal on fire. The fire gets out of control after May drops the oil lamp, causing the flames to spread to the circuitry of the panel in the wall. As the fire spreads, May calls for help. So what we see in this scene is it spreads into the circuitry and then it moves along other circuits in the walls of the fortress and starts blowing up different machinery or whatever.
She crawls through like that laundry chute or whatever.
Right.
The first episode, right?
Exactly. And we see that. We see that here too. It's only showed very briefly, but so it says, meanwhile, Torben and Sol reach the mountain plateau near the perimeter of the forest. As the Jedi reach the courtyard and face Anisei and Coral, several of the witches are up on the catwalk above. Anisei chastises Jedi for returning, and Sol says they have come with noble intentions. When Anisei asks if they come to seek permissions for the twins to be raised by an institution called the Jedi, Sol asks where the twins came from and how they were created. As the archers aim their arrows at the two Jedi, Torben begins to back away. Anisei warns the Jedi that noble intentions would lead to their destruction of their order in the future. So she's foretelling the destruction of the Jedi that we see in the movies where, you know, where Order 66 and all that stuff. She's saying your intentions like this is what's going to lead to your destruction in the future.
Mm.
Torben reaches for his lightsaber, but Sol stops him. Just then, Mei interrupts the confrontation and asks for help. Sol mistakes her for Osha and calls out to her. Coral prepares to hurl her spear while Torben ignites his lightsaber. Anisei uses her powers to morph into black smoke again, which also envelops Mei. Reacting instinctively, Sol slashes the black smoke with his lightsaber, causing Anisei to return to physical form. As Anisei succumbs to her wounds, Mei cries out in despair. A dying Anisei tells Sol that she was going to allow Osha to follow the Jedi, honoring her daughter's wishes. As Mei tends to her fallen mother, Sol sees the ascension marks and realizes the girl is Mei. Coral tells Mei to run while Torben fends off the scouts. Scouts arrows with his lightsabers. He's like, choo-choo-choo-choo, choo-choo-choo. Coral attacks Sol with her staff. He finds her off to blow up, but doesn't fight back with his lightsaber. Struggling with guilt, Sol refuses to fight her, but holds off her staff when she launches a new attack. The fire caused by Mei triggers several explosions throughout the mountain fortress. Once Osha manages to escape her room through a tunnel, she hears the explosions above. Coral uses her power to cause herself and the archers to disappear. So they disappear into like a smoke of some sort. Her voice can hear she's taunting the Jedi. When Torben counters that his mind is fortified, Coral reveals the Wookiee has not fortified his mind and possesses Kalaneka, who has blackened eyes and ignites his green lightsaber. He approaches his Jedi comrades menacingly. The witches in the common room, including Elder Nasa, conduct a ritual. They're basically going om, om. So they're all involved in this possession, I guess, somehow.
So they took over the Wookiee now instead of Torben. Right.
It causes his eyes to turn black. Kalaneka attacks Sol and Torben with his lightsaber and force powers. So he's throwing them all over the place and shoo, 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 shoo. And there's your scene you saw in the previews and stuff.
Yeah. So I got to back up for a second. So Sol kills the mom.
Yes. And we didn't see that in the first episode.
Yeah.
So he kills her.
So he intentionally kills her? Like what? I guess I meant.
Well, she turned to smoke again.
Whatever. Yeah.
And he didn't want her to possess anyone else, so he stabs at the smoke, and it ends up getting her.
So he thinks that she's going to take over Torben again like she did before then, or him.
Or him, yeah.
And so he, like, tries to stop that. I gotcha.
Exactly.
So it wasn't necessarily intentional. It was, he was kind of defending himself.
Right, and it said during some of the fighting that he was feeling guilty about killing the Mother Anisei.
Gotcha.
That's why he didn't fight Coral right away, because he was feeling guilty about killing the mother. He didn't intend to.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so Kalaneka has this big scene where he's fighting Torben and Sol and using the Force and throwing Sol against the wall.
So this is going on when the girls are fighting up, right? So neither one of the girls saw that happen?
I think May is there.
The two girls are in the room, right? And then this is happening with the Jedi down on the wherever.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
So Torben throws Sol against, or Torben, Kalaneka throws Sol against the wall and then chokes Torben while trapping him against the wall. He attempts to strike Torben with his lightsaber, but the young Jedi fends him off with his own lightsaber. During the struggle, Torben's face is scratched by the Wookiee. He got a scratch all the way down his face.
Which is why he's got that.
Right.
Whatever.
Sol manages to distract Kalaneka and causes him to let go of Torben. The two engage in a brief lightsaber duel before Sol disarms Kalaneka's lightsaber. Following a tussle, Kalaneka attempts to strangle Sol under the influence of the witch's telepathic spell. Suddenly, Endura comes in to Sol's rescue and jumps on top of Kalaneka. After knocking him to the ground, she uses her Force powers and makes the possession, reverses the possession. And you can see Kalaneka fighting it. He's doing it, and his eyes are doing weird stuff. It's kind of funny just to see that scene. And when she drives them away from Kalaneka's mind, it causes all the witches to collapse. Basically, they're, it kills them. They're all dead. So that's the scene where we see Osha walk through and she finds them all laying there dead and stuff.
Yeah. When she comes, yeah. So they're dead, or not, like passed out.
Yeah, they're dead.
Really?
If not, they get burnt up. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, they end up because the place like crumbles or whatever, explodes or whatever, right?
So Kalaneka blinks his eyes as they return to normal. While Endura attends to the Wookiee, she sends Sol to rescue the twins. Inside the mountain fortress, Osha and Mei are separated when a generator explodes, causing a walkway to split in half. So we see that scene in the first one where they're both coming at each other and they're both on the edge of thing. And what we don't see is Sol runs into the tunnel of the common room and attempts to keep the walkways from collapsing. Lacking the strength to hold both sides, Sol lets go of the side that Mei is on and focuses on Osha. Mei falls to the depths of the mountain interior, and Osha's side collapses, but he manages to grab her wrist before she falls. So he makes a sacrifice and doesn't save Mei. So that's how she didn't, whatever he said, burn up or whatever in the fire, she fell. And I'm willing to bet that since she's strong in the Force, she was able to, make it so she didn't fall and die. We don't see that, but that's kind of what I've been thinking the whole time, is she's strong enough that she realizes she's going to fall and she catches herself or something with the Force or something like that.
Yeah, because they all thought she was dead.
Right, exactly. Because she fell from a, It's a pretty deep hole, so we don't know how deep, but it's pretty deep.
Yeah, the elevator like took him to the top or whatever. So like, yeah. Okay.
So this we're almost done here. So later aboard the Jedi starship, Kalanick paces outside the med bay while Sol attends to Osha, who has been connected to a respirator. A scarred Torben apologizes to Master Indira. Indira tells Kalanick to contact Coruscant while she speaks with Torben and Sol, telling him she warned him not to interfere. This is all your fault. Sol says that he wanted the twins to be safe and attempts to leave. Indira grabs his arms and the two tussle as Torben tells him to stop. So Sol and Indira kind of have a little fight. Following a tense moment, Torben asks Indira what they should tell the Jedi Council. Indira says they will report that Mei burned down the witch's fortress, causing the deaths of everyone inside. When Sol insists on facing the council, Indira warns against re-traumatizing Osha by taking away her dream. She says that Sol should consider why he made the choice before facing the council. At the moment, Osha calls out to her mother and Sol tends to her. When Osha asks where she is, Sol tells her that she is on her way to Coruscant and tells Osha that Mei started a fire. And then we see the credits.
So Sol is trying to do the right thing by telling the truth, but what's her name?
Indira.
Yeah, Indira basically is trying to cover it up.
Right, because they believe that they basically caused all that death there themselves.
Yeah.
Sol killed the mother, and Indira, helped kill the rest of the witches.
Which is why we see him kind of being cautious in the episodes after this one.
Saying when he's things.
On the planet or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we kind of know, like, why the Wookiee dudes then leaves and goes by himself, because he fought against his friends.
Like, well, that part of it. So think about it this way. He isolated himself, but also Torben isolated himself too.
Yeah.
He went to a Jedi temple, but he went into this meditation mode where nobody could talk to him for whatever they said, 10 years or something like that.
Well, that's what I was getting at. So the Kalneka goes to the planet because he fights against his friends and he actually like damages Torben's face or, blinds him or whatever. So he feels guilt for that. But then Torben feels guilt because he was weak and all he wanted to do was go back to Coruscant. And because he like was taken over with his mind or whatever, that he created, the whole thing to begin with, because if he'd been able to keep his mind closed, then there wouldn't have been, that whole incident.
Partially. I see that. I agree with that in a partial way, but you also have to remember that they called him Master Torben when he was in his meditation. So he finished his Jedi training from a Padawan, passed the trials and all that stuff, and became a Jedi Master.
Well, that's because when they went back, what's her name, Indira, basically said that he'd fulfilled his training, part of the lie, part of the cover up, but then he would feel guilt knowing that he didn't actually.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it, but I also think it's their brains are a little messed up because they were possessed for a while. They got their brain scrambled when they were possessed. And I think that neither one of them could deal with the guilt and the scrambling at the same time. Yeah. So they both kind of went into isolation.
In that first episode, we find her like by herself too, kind of out.
Yes.
from like outer planet kind of thing too. So
Yes.
like this whole thing, they all feel guilty for whatever it was, which we kind of got that sense in the episodes before because we were kind of saying something had to have gone down, like that created them to all no longer, you know, be friends.
Yes, I agree. I'm not playing that to silence you, but
Yeah, I get that thing.
I'm not playing that to silence you, I swear. But we need to beg for some feedback real quick, and then we can talk some more. All right, so we want to know what you think about all that that we talked about, and what, did I describe it wrong? Am I giving Rick the wrong information? You let us know. Go to feedback@kylejohansson.us. Go to our website and click on the feedback link and fill out the form. We're on social media. We're on X/Twitter at super_duper_pod. Blue Sky, we're at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. And we'll take comments on YouTube, and Spotify, apparently, and a few other places. So, wherever you find a place to leave comments, please do it, because we'll get a notification of some sort, letting us to know that you left comments. And again, if you don't find us on your preferred podcast, provider or whatever, let us know and we'll get ourselves added to it as well. So this was to me, this was a very dense episode. There's a lot. Like I said, it was just a re-explanation of episode one, kind of. Episode one and two, maybe. I don't know. But it kind of leaves me up in the air, though. I don't know what episode eight is going to be, the final episode.
Yeah, but okay. Well, it could be a continuation, like of those, like what do they do when they're, because they're not back to Coruscant yet, and I don't know. Very interesting. But I definitely gonna have to watch it now because now I'm gonna be like, oh yeah. I don't think so.
Well, some of the stuff in this episode ties into the episode before it too, so it'll help if you watch them both.
Gonna just kind of like skip that one and not watch it, but now I'm gonna have to go back and watch it.
They both kind of tie in I would say the first one you missed, is more about OSHA and the stranger is what they're calling him, the Sith guy. But the next episode it kind of leads into this one in a way. So, I don't know. I don't know, because we do know that there's definitely plans for a season two, kind of like what Scott said when we reviewed the last episode. He's like, we already know that the second season is supposed to be a different story. It might be around the same people, but they're telling a different story topic or something like that.
Oh, okay. So it won't be season two with the same characters. It'll be season
It
two in like
could be the same characters.
Okay, I gotcha.
But it may not be all of them, because obviously they're all dead. They all get killed. It may be Sol in OSHA, or I don't know. There is supposed to be a finale kind of state that happens in the last episode.
Was a single name again versus the last episode was two again, right? I thought I saw that. Like
Yes. The episode
episode.
before was called Teach Corrupt, and this episode was just called Choice.
Okay.
Yes. So that was two, and we still don't know what the new episode's going to be named, but like I said, I also suspect it's going to be an hour or so long. Because I think there's a lot that still needs to be wrapped up. I think we've just touched the surface, honestly.
Well, we still don't know who the, like, Sith person is, like.
Right.
Because I'm still not convinced that the guy that we saw standing on that cliff was, what's his name? Like, the Q guy or whatever, right?
Yeah, you need to watch the episodes. But okay. Yeah, go ahead. I think to me at least, the episode Teach Corrupt kind of confirms everything.
Confirms everything.
Well, I wouldn't say everything, but it confirms that he's the guy. It confirms that he was the one that was in the apothecary place that gave him the poison and all that stuff. Confirms it's the same person, basically.
So you're the Q that was up on that cliff, then. Okay.
At least that's what I think. You may have a different opinion after you watch it.
But he would be the second one, so who did he get trained under?
Right. We don't know that, and hopefully we'll find out. And okay, maybe that's what the second season is about. I don't know.
Could be.
I still have a suspicion that Saul knows him from something else besides what we've seen so far.
I gotcha.
Maybe this guy was one of Saul's Padawans that he trained in the classroom like we saw in the episodes, you know. Maybe he was one of those guys. And, he got kicked out.
But wouldn't Saul recognize him in any of the previous interactions and like, go, I know that kid? You know, like, I remember when he was, like,
I don't think he mentions something after he takes off the helmet. He says, oh, I know where I've seen you before. Because he's the only one left, if you remember right. Yeah. There was a glimmering, like, oh, I remember now. But he doesn't. Yeah. I don't think he actually. Because we know, like, Torben remembers him because he remembers that. Because Torben was the part of the team that went to the apothecary.
Yeah, thing. Well.
That was Saul, though.
He was part of the team that was on the planet.
Right.
When they, like, pushed him. When he did all the Force thing at Kelneka's place.
Right.
Okay. All right, then it sounds like I do need to watch the other episode, maybe make some connections then, because...
There's a few things.
I also wasn't convinced that the Q guy was the master, but that would make... So maybe he kills the master, his master... Then, so that he can get Maya's apprentice, so that they can have the two.
Yeah, and that's been the continuing story of the Sith for a long time. Is eventually right? The apprentice kills the master, and so on and so on, and becomes the Sith Lord or the
yeah,
I wouldn't say Emperor, but whatever the Supreme Sith or whatever you want to call it.
Lord.
Yeah. Anyway, because that's what happened. We see that happen with Darth Vader, and we see that that story that Palpatine tells, he did that to his master.
Yeah.
And so on. And that's portrayed in the books too. That a lot of the books do that. There's always it's interesting in some of the books they follow a master, but they don't follow a Padawan until the last minute because the Padawan changes the whole story. You know, it's like a surprise. Surprise, there's another one. Kind of thing. Kind of like when you're watching monster movies, you know, and there's a surprise monster all of a sudden. Or surprise, it was Ed Brimley that was the monster. He just had a mask on.
Hey, don't ruin Godzilla and whatever, because I started to watch that on my trip, but didn't get to watch it all.
Oh, yeah, I haven't watched that. All right, well, you got anything else you want to want to put in here? And
not really, because I didn't get to watch the episode. So everything I put in is like my two cents off of what you're telling me, which is,
yeah, hopefully I didn't ruin it for you. So
lies, and now I'm going to be like under the impression of something. So someone's got to tell me what the truth is.
Yeah.
No,
you
I'll
can
go
hear,
watch
you
it.
Could maybe hear Scott's truth later on. He usually only pays half attention to what the episode, so he misses a lot.
He's did a better half than I did, because I just, well, I knew I was going to watch it. I just thought I could get it squeezed in before this happened, and that wasn't the reality.
Well, we barely got it squeezed in when we were on vacation, because we left on Wednesday, and of course the episode released at 6 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we barely got it in. We didn't think we would be able to watch Disney Plus while we're, because they now have a location lock on logging in.
Oh yeah.
And what it did was it let me confirm who I was and change my location temporarily, which was kind of cool. And we got to watch it. But you know, knowing me, I watched it anyway the night Tuesday. Scott didn't have time because he was working. So we watched it later. We watched it, I don't know, Thursday or something together. Gotcha. That's what it was. So there's TVs in this house that we're in. There's, I don't know, three TVs. I think that's right. One in each bedroom, and then the living area. And all the accounts still had people logged into them. So there was a Disney Plus account, and that's how we watched it in the cabin. I forget that. It wasn't my login. It was someone else's. Yeah, so there's a Disney Plus account. They had Amazon was logged into, Netflix was logged into, YouTube TV, Paramount. There's all kinds of stuff already logged in. Totally different people in each one. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I prioritized sleep yesterday, so sorry to you.
No worries. I understand.
So, I'll be back in the saddle next week.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on and stuff. You'll have lots of opinions next week. Maybe we'll have to talk about them before we actually get into the breakdown of the new episode.
Okay. All right, let's work.
I hope Scott will be there too, since the finale. I think he will be, so he doesn't have anything conflicting right now, so
sweet.
We should all three be together.
Sounds good.
All right, I'm going to do the outro.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://. rabr.kylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcast. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. Hi, I'm Kyle Johnson, and this is Andrew Scott.
So, still haven't
say goodbye now.
We didn't have Andrew today. We had Rick. Yay. Say goodbye, Rick. Bye-bye.
Adios.